The epistle appointed to be read for this Pentecost Sunday is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. When the days of Pentecost were drawing to a close, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as if of a violent wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as of fire, which settled upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in foreign tongues, even as the Holy Spirit prompted them to speak. Now there were staying in Jerusalem devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude gathered and were bewildered in mind, because each heard them speaking in his own language. But they were all amazed and marveled, saying, "Behold, are not all these that are speaking Galileans? How then have we heard each his own language in which he was born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We have heard them speaking in our own languages of the wonderful works of God." And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you have heard is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while yet dwelling with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your mind whatever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled or be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I go away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would indeed rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the prince of the world is coming, and in me he has nothing. But he comes that the world may know that I love the Father, and that I do as the Father has commanded me." Thus, for this feast day's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning from the bulletin I bring to your attention, there will be catechism class for the juniors this morning, Father Joseph's class, downstairs. And also Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday of this week are Ember Days, and therefore they are days of fast and abstinence. Meat may be eaten once on Wednesday and Saturday, that is, at the main meal. Otherwise, you abstain from meat. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, today is Pentecost. It is of utmost importance. It is a feast day ranking equally with that of Easter. Easter and Pentecost are the two greatest feasts of the entire year. They are of equal rank, of equal importance. Isn't it sad that for the vastest majority of the people on earth, Pentecost means nothing? And for a lot of people, the word that it is just a day that happens to have the name on it, which is Pentecost. But it means it's nothing. It has no meaning. And yet today is a day of the greatest importance. You know very well, all of you, that our blessed Lord taught the apostles. And for 3 years, day in and day out, he was giving them lessons. Did they understand? No. They stored up knowledge, or information rather, they stored up information, but that's all you can really say that they had in mind. As a matter of fact, even after they had experienced all of the miracles, and even after St. Thomas was told, come here, put your finger in my hands, put your hand in my side, and believe, and do not be disbelieving. And even after he said, my Lord and my God, after all of that, just minutes before, our blessed Lord ascended, started his ascension into heaven, just minutes before. Well, Lord, now let us discuss about this this deliverance. When is the deliverer coming to free us, free the people? They had missed the entire message. They knew all about it. They put their finger in his hands. They put their hands in his side. They knew all about it, informationally, but they did not comprehend it. Enkindle in us the fire of thy love. And it was only after the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, came in tongues of fire and rested upon each of their heads, and that the grace of Almighty God was implanted in them at that time. Then did they burst forth, as we read this morning. And they spoke in all kinds of languages, and everybody on earth understood what they had to say, and they said it. Enkindle in us the fire of thy love. My beloved people, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in Pentecost. I do not wish to single us out as being better than anybody else. I do not wish to single us out as being, I hate to use the word because it does sound so exclusivistic, chosen. I hate to use that word, but in a manner of speaking, if we somehow or other have been given whatever it is you wish to call it, the understanding of what today signifies in its fullness, then there has to be something different, if I can say it that way. It has to be something special. I have to say it that way. Why is it that we comprehend and those all around us, even those that are closely related to us, do not comprehend? Why is it that even with us, and because of that maybe, that just to be able to worship as we worship, in order to get to the place of worship, in order to live the worship that we have chosen in life, that we each time, each day, each event, that we have to find our way and sneak through the firing line of some of the heaviest duty artillery against us imaginable. And that, as many have said, as you've heard me say, that we, just to be able, we don't hurt anybody, we don't persecute anybody, but just because we choose to believe as we believe, and to worship with piety, and with reverence, and with peace, and with serenity, and with mildness, and with faith, and with modesty, that people don't understand what we're doing. My beloved people, the grace of God is the largest, the most spectacular gift that we could be given. Exclusive, of course, of the Blessed Eucharist. Today is the birthday of our church. Many people do not know that. It's amazing. Our church began today. Our religion began today. And everything that Christ said, everything that Christ showed, everything became clear today. And so it is with you and us, that what we have been told becomes clear today. The Feast of the Holy Ghost. It's a spectacular feast. The fire that the Holy Ghost, who is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Ghost is God. We have an image of Christ, easy enough to keep in mind. We have developed an image of the Father, easy enough. But the image of the third person of the Blessed Trinity, Almighty God Himself, the Spirit, the personification of again shall we go to that word that I use so often. He is the personification of love. And that's why we speak so much of love. The Holy Ghost, as we shall say and recite next Sunday, is equal to the Father and to the Son. And the Son and the Father are equal to the Holy Ghost. And the three, it's a mystery. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one God. We were not told how this is. We were merely told to believe it. We were told to believe it. We cannot otherwise understand it, and it has not been explained to us. And so we look upon it and accept it as a total mystery, which we cannot fathom, because each one is separate, but they're together. How? I don't know. Neither do you. Neither does anybody. We do the best we can. We accept it. But the Holy Ghost is every bit equal to the Father and to the Son. Without the Holy Ghost, we have no way of saving our immortal souls. That He comes and inflames in us the love of God, which we, as I said, speak so often of. Charity. We know what we mean by charity. We've talked about it in here. And the other gifts which are outlined in today's bulletin to us, which I suggest very strongly that we study these. And on the back, the very last page, there is an absolutely beautiful prayer. I did not know the existence of this prayer, nor did I have in mind the outline of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as are outlined in today's bulletin. It came to me by way of a very beautiful card at the last moment from one of you whose name I shall not mention and to whom I'm very grateful. At any rate, those are there for our instruction. If ever we need to come to grips with that which the Holy Ghost came to give us on this day, years ago, it is now. Because the light of our faith is becoming dimmer and dimmer with each new day. You would be surprised at how often we hear it said to us by visitors, if only I could come and live with you. If only I could come and stay in a place like this and get away from where I am. In today's bulletin also, my beloved people, I will read it to you. I know you can read it for yourselves, but I want to read it to you anyway. If man does not turn to God in all haste, with active commitment and solemn prayer, with responsible and humble penance and mortification, even as of old, in sackcloth and ashes, let us not be surprised at what is in store for all of us. We keep putting this off. We keep telling ourselves this is something that we have been hearing over and over and over again, year in and year out, place here, place there, every place we go, we hear the same thing, same thing, same thing. I don't think there's anybody in here so dumb as to think this is a fable. In any event, let us say that it is not, that it does not take place, that it is postponed for ages and ages. It is better for us to be in the state of grace at all times than to stay in a state of uncertainty. If you and I are in the state of grace, then it matters not what happens, does it? Today, people if they would just simply talk less and pray more, things would be so different. To be perfectly honest, I am tired of hearing this unending babble of things to be done, and how to do it, and the solution, and argument, and debate, and this, and that, and disagree. And today, everybody that gets up to preach looks upon himself as an Athanasius once again. If each of the preachers that we speak of or think of is an Athanasius, then it would appear that all of the Athanasiuses would agree with each other. But you can't find two Athanasiuses that do agree with each other. So I am tempted to ask, not to be facetious, will the real Athanasius stand up? And each one insists that if you do not believe as I believe, you are anathema and you will go to hell. The only thing that comes from this pulpit, my beloved people, and only what comes from this pulpit, if God gives us the grace, is that which was planted today when the fire came and stood over the heads of those present. That is what comes from this pulpit as it has been coming down, straight from there to what you hear. We are not permitted in any way to change one jot or tittle of what has been given to us. That we must believe if we wish to save our immortal souls. There are so many, again, Athanasiuses with burning zeal, with a lot of it is untutored zeal, fierce zeal, bitter, go out and will attack you if you do not believe as I believe. The Word of God has to be a word of peace. Anytime our blessed Lord made his appearance after his resurrection, what was the first word that came out of his mouth? Peace. You know, I think that we think when the word, again, we misconstrue the meaning of Christ's intended meaning and of the word peace, as we misconstrue the Christ's intended meaning of the word love. We think that peace, like the apostles, when are we going to be delivered? Therefore, we look upon peace that we want peace outside. We want peace among men. We want peace among men. We want goodwill among men. That's not what Christ means. It isn't goodwill among men so that we can all move about with freedom and joy and jolliness and hand clapping and handshaking and hugging and kissing and everything else that goes with peace among men. That's not what he meant. Not at all. He brought peace and he brought it only to men whose will was good. See, it's been the same words are there. They've been interpolated. The same words that have been turned around. Peace to men of goodwill is what Christ said. What Christ meant. That's what angels brought down also on that first night. Peace to men of goodwill. Not goodwill to men. So today we should pray that we can come to a better understanding, a total understanding of what today means. It is the day that we got our understanding. Too many people today know all the information that is to be known. They say all the prayers that can be said, but does information provide knowledge, the knowledge that Christ, that God speaks of? Do all prayers bring piety to us? Yes, to pray is an act of piety, but it does not mean that prayer directly makes us pious or holy. Everything, my beloved people, nothing comes from the mind. The mind, as far as it, as you go, there are those who disagree with me, I know. But the mind is very much like a bunch of dry leaves on a wintry, on a windy fall day, that the wind stirs these leaves in all directions. That's the way our mind works. Every thought that comes in our direction has some activity in it. But once I have committed my heart, as it should be committed to Almighty God, the way God demands it of me and you and us, once I have given my heart, all the wind and all the storm and all the tornado and all the hurricane wind put together cannot shake me and must not shake me. And if I have to go through a firing squad dodging bullets all the way there, so be it. The only thing that I additionally add to that is, may God, give me the singular grace of being able to walk straight into the direction of a bullet and not flinch. That I will be able and willing and happy to shed my blood, if necessary, for His holy kingdom on this earth. O Holy Ghost, be Thou with me. Please kneel.